Congratulations, you. You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. Yes, you are.
I'm now joined by former Radio 1 breakfast host, Mr. Andy Flyboy. How you doing, Marina. My G?
Marina, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, man. It's a beautiful day here, and I'm feeling prepped. I got a lot of energy. The 40th is happening, so it's like something's in the air. It's great. How's it? You're in Tamaki, correct?
I am, yeah. It's a beautiful morning here. Things are, just sort of waking up. But it's a beautiful day here, and I'm so happy to be asked to have a chat. So it's a very honour. Mm-hmm. An honour. Thank you very much.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. Let's. I want to talk about your name, Flyboy. On a multi kind of dimensional scale, ranging from Jeff Goldblum's The Fly, Leonardo DiCaprio's Aviator, the Wright Brothers, and Ric Flair, where does the Flyboy sit?
Well, he's not as arrogant as Ric Flair, and not as crazy as the Aviator, but he's flying high. He's more of a space age rocket ship, if anything.
Ah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's what I think.
Awesome. You're originally from Gore.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Invercargill, so I feel like we've got a trauma bond from being from Southland.
We do, yeah. Bogans and all that.
Tell me about it. When was the last time you went back to Gore?
Oh, probably about 2 years ago. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to go back in January as well, because the op shopping is pretty sweet.
It's insane.
You know, it's like, I've got family down there, but I mean, always try and go down to South Island every couple of years and look for records or and clothing and stuff like that, and catch up with family and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love going and going through the regions and stuff. It's fun.
I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed because I grew up in Invercargill. I kind of grew to dislike it quite a lot, but going back there, it's actually quite refreshing. Do you feel the same way about Gore?
Oh, there's nothing to do. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's not much to do. I mean, it's nice to see. Well, even it's a little bit sad to see like the Matilda River not looking as nice. You used to swim in it, and it's looking all brown and stuff. So, but it has its charms and everything. Like some beautiful surrounding areas and stuff. And we had a pretty good time swimming in the rivers and having a childhood there. But there wasn't much to do, and that's how I ended up getting into music, because you had to make your own fun. Mm. And you wanted to be kind of find your own way. So I got into alternative music in Gore, buying cassettes, from the local record store, buying Nun stuff and stuff like that, and Sonic Youth and Pixies, and that's what drove me to go to Dunedin, so follow that sort of Dunedin sound.
Yeah. It's funny, I listened to your yarn with Jamie Green, again, another great former breakfast host, and this yarn was from 2021 during the New Zealand Music Month, and you mentioned that your first time coming into Radio 1 was coming to record for your Gore band, Isolation Backlash.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do you have any recordings of the tunes that you played with in that band?
I don't have the Radio 1 ones, I've only got some early ones. But, I don't have any of those, unfortunately, which is a bit sad, isn't it?
Oh,
but man, they're not very good.
Not a huge loss.
We're so young, and we had, like, when you're young, you had shitty equipment, and we're just, like, overly influenced by stuff, and, but you find your way. I mean, you start from somewhere, and you progress along. But, it was amazing. I mean, we worked with, I thought it was amazing. We worked with Mike Studley from the Verlaines. He was the engineer, and, I love the Verlaines as a teenager. I was so excited to just be in the same room with the guy, so it was so much fun.
Yeah.
So, it was cool, and that's where I got my first taste. People were talking on the radio. I was listening to Radio 1 while we're doing that and stuff like that, and I loved the attitude of the host and stuff. Here's a record we found in Steve's closet. We're going to play this, and I just liked the looser kind of attitude. So I was really impressed, and, I wanted to be involved in it when I got to the men. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've got to be there.
Because you were the breakfast host, according to your LinkedIn, from 94 to 2002. Is your love of music and your kind of love of just that alternative student culture the main reason why you got involved?
Yeah, oh, totally, yeah. It was all the music and the people, basically. Mm-hmm. But I love the thrill of it. Like, I've got a big personality, so it was so much fun to, I had to kind of sneak in the back door a little bit to get a show. But,
you were a co-host originally, right? And then
I was a co-host,
that guy left, and they were like, "You want to host the breakfast show?"
Yeah, man. Richard Wayne, who was the original host, he really whipped me into shape. But before that, they just had a different host doing every day of the week for the breakfast. Mm. And I remember I had a Monday or something, And I remember it just sort of coming in at like 7 o'clock and putting on some loud track and saying, "Let's rock!" You know, and I had to say, "Hey, can you tone it down, you know, a little bit, you know?" And eventually, you know, Richard was, you know, quite strict on me to sort of whip me into shape. And he really helped me channel, you know, the nuances of being a host. And then I took it from there, you know. And what a ride, man. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun.
Yeah, what was your favourite year for music while you were hosting? Was there any year that stands out in particular as being, like, a super gold solid year for music?
Oh, man, I'd actually reckon that whole block, or, like, from when I started to, you know, 2000 or so, there were so many different new genres popping up. You know, things like, you know, drum and bass and just, you know, these are things that you forget, you know, that were just sort of starting to pop up into New Zealand and with the whole gathering thing. So there's the whole dance culture, and there was sort of the post-grunge kind of thing that came in. So, I mean, there were so many different kinds of music. It was just really, really super exciting. And also discovered older music, being involved with Radio 1 as well, which is my passion now, which is like lounge and exotica and surf music sort of like stuff from the late 50s to the 60s. So, I mean, that's what I collect now, but I've discovered it, you know, from compilations and stuff like that, or a record from the library of the Radio 1 record shelves, you know. So that's what I mean. I was just exposed to so much, and it kept you excited, you know. You just feel so good when you're playing a track, if you're dancing around the studio and having a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it alone. I had a co-host, a female co-host every day of the week, a different one. So I didn't do it alone. They're an amazing woman. And so were all the news crew and the program directors and everything, station managers. They're just wonderful people and just really so supportive, you know.
For sure, for sure. And it's still like that as well. I mean, there's still a lot of support that goes on, which is awesome.
I mean, I've got a young friend, young lady, who is working with me in my costume job, that I'm stylist job that I'm doing now. And she's just doing BFM. And when she told me that, I just thought, that is the best thing, you know, you can possibly do. You're so into music, you're going to love this. And she's just loving it. And it's like, that's what is that whole thing. You meet new people with different tastes, and you become kindred spirits and just support each other and each other's styles and learn from them, you know.
For sure.
I love that.
It's a beautiful thing. Definitely is a beautiful thing. Yeah. You mentioned that you have a current costume job, and this is very true. Currently the head costumer at First Scene Limited. How did you pivot from broadcasting into the costume industry?
Well, I did keep broadcasting when I went to Auckland for a bit. I was on Kiwi FM and Fleet FM and stuff like that. So I kept a little part-time radio stuff going on. But I basically, the owner of the company, I chatted to him, and he could tell I had a lot of knowledge in the pop culture kind of a genre. And I know my old music, and I know my old films and TV and everything. And, you know, I didn't know anything about sizing or like anything about the actual job, but he knew I had the knowledge, and so he threw me in there. I just learned on the job. But yeah, now I'm a bit of an expert, and I work on, you know, the public, and I work on films, and, you know, how to assist stylists on big films and ads and music videos and awesome stuff. So, you know, it could be like Earth Tongue getting some satanic robes to you know, some big movie that's coming. Easter Eden is the new one that's being done at the moment. So yeah, it's a crazy job. It's like, man, it's hard work, but it's rewarding. Yeah,
I imagine it makes you the envy of other people at Halloween parties.
Oh yeah, well, they always want to take your outfit. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, I want to wear what you're wearing. Oh, here you go, have it. You know? They're going to wear something a little bit crappy so they don't take it off you. You know, but that's coming up. That's going to be interesting. So I might go as Judge Judy or something.
That'd be remarkable to see.
Oh yeah, that'd be good with the grey wig. Yeah, sweet.
Be awesome. I recently spoke to you before we had the interview on live, but I recently watched the Radio Punks doco by Jeremy Wells, which is all about student radio, and you're in it. And there was one former BFM breakfast host who spoke about how when he hosted breakfast, he imagined that he was only talking to one listener rather than an entire audience. Did you have a similar mental strategy?
My strategy was, I was talking to a lot of people, and I didn't want to be talking to myself. I didn't want to have a conversation between two people. I had a co-host, and we'd have a chat, but it would be important to project outwards to the people listening. I didn't think of it as just one person. I thought it as a community of people, because, you know, you're representing a lot of different people. So that's how I definitely was not wanting to be introverted. I wanted to definitely reach out, something that Mike Havoc was a master at, you know. So that's what I really wanted to do, and that's what I think I achieved. You know, people seem to take it on board and take me into their hearts a little bit. So, I mean, I wouldn't be talking to you now, I guess, if they didn't. So that was my my strategy, if I had one. I was a bit of a loose unit, but if I had a strategy. But that, in my mind, that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to talk to myself. Or
yeah, it's hard.
You know, some hard, you know, hosts do it. And you know, and but I just, and that's their style. But for me, I just want to project outwards. I wanted to make people feel good, make them laugh, or tap their foot or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. make them feel part of it. Yeah.
Totally get that. Yeah. You've requested a series of tracks to play after our quit it all. We've got the 3Ds with Beautiful Things, Shaft with Downhill Racer, the D4 with Invader Ace, and Beastie Boys with Intergalactic. What do these songs speak to you?
Well, firstly, Intergalactic by Beastie Boys has a robot voice in it.
Yeah.
I collect robots.
So, oh, wow. You know,
but also, I love the Beastie Boys. I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so as a kid and even into student radio, they were a band, were a hip-hop, you know, group that were around from the time I was, you know, got into music as breakdancing, you know, just peddling out to, you know, student radio. So that's why they're special to me. Also, Shaft with Down Racer by Shaft. They're just a great, joyous band, you know, and such a fun band to see live that I thought I'd put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Invader Race is a cover by Guitar Wolf, who are one of my favourite Japanese rock bands, and it's performed by D4, so they're covering that. So I like D4. They rock pretty hard. And, of course, the 3Ds are probably the band I've seen the most in my life, next to the Villains, and they're like a big special part of my heart. When I came as a musician, I was really influenced by their sound, and they were just an amazing live group. So I had to put some 3Ds in there. They were just the band. They were huge at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they could play Sammy's, you know. But I'd play small venues like the Empire and the Crown and Super 8 and all these venues.
Mm.
So they'd play all around the place, give everyone a taste, and they're just amazing songwriters. And I like the aesthetic with their artwork, and David Mitchell's guitar is just like fantastic. So yeah, big 3Ds fan right here.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, that definitely sounds like you're very much a 3Ds fan. I reckon we get straight on into those songs.
All right, thank you so much for having me on.
It was fantastic having you on. It's great to chat with a former legend of the chair I'm in right now.
Hey, well, I'd like to just send my love to all the Dunedin people and to Radio 1 and all the people involved, Tina Turntables and everybody. Thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, I really appreciate it. And best of luck with your show, Zach.
Oh, cheers, man.
Amazing.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Next time you're in Dunedin, you got to come on down to the station.
Oh, you
man.
Know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll come be annoying here.
Yeah, yeah. Come co-host a show with me. That'll be real fun.
I'll be lovely. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Take care, man. Take care.
Hugs. Bye.
Kakite. All right, folks. That was Andy Flyboy, a Radio 1 legend. A Radio 1 absolute legend. And we're going to play some tracks that he's requested. Up first, we have the 3Ds with Beautiful Things. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked. Thank you for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There's heaps more at r1.co.nz.